Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What are all of those squirrels up to? Let's go in-depth with Russ Benedict, professor of biology at Central College. So Russ, it seems like we're seeing a lot of squirrels this year. Is that my imagination or is something going on?
Well, that's a little hard to say. There's a whole bunch of these kinds of organisms that live around us that nobody really monitors their populations. And so it's not like I could go somewhere and look at a chart and say, yep, their numbers are up. I have noticed a good number of fox squirrels here on my property and a huge number of chipmunks here on my property. And I think what could be happening, we've just ended their first round of reproduction for the year. Most squirrels locally have two sets of babies. And the first set is just coming out and becoming very active now. So I think part of the pulse that we're seeing right now is just that, is the babies that have just come out. But the other thing I think that happened was we had a pretty mild winter, and we had a really good acorn crop. And acorn crops are super important for squirrel survival over the winter. So I think we probably had good squirrel survivorship over the winter, then coupled with the fact that their babies are coming out right now.
All right, so just really tough to say then. It just maybe, I was wondering if maybe we're out a little bit more and seeing some more, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's a very, very real possibility. I'm certainly seeing lots of signs based on the emails that I get from people and based on people I talk to. Lots of folks are certainly kind of reconnecting with nature during these times. And so squirrels may be simply more visible because we're paying more attention and we have the time to notice. That's a good point.
Well, now, you said fox squirrels. Tell us a little bit about, the general biology, ecology of the fox squirrel.
You bet. Well, so the fox squirrel is one of several squirrels that lives here in Iowa. And the fox squirrels are the kind of orangish brown guys you see with the big bushy orange brown tail. And in this part of the Midwest, they're real, what we refer to as habitat generalists. They can live in any kind of forests. They can live in any size of forests. And they can eat a whole variety of things. And so they tend to do very well here in the Midwest. And they do very well around people. And so they're very familiar to us. They're incredible acrobats. One of their cool little tricks they can do is their hind foot can rotate 180 degrees. So their toes can literally point backwards. And if you ever see one crawling head first down the tree, that's what they're doing. They're literally rotating that back foot around 180 degrees, which allows them still to grip the trunk as they're coming down. They're mostly seed and nut eaters, but eat a fair number of fruits and fungi and insects. They'll raid baby bird or bird nests and eat eggs and eat babies. They probably don't do that a lot, but they, probably throughout their lifetimes, they do that several times. So they're real, what we refer to as omnivores, eating a wide variety of food. One of the things I think is interesting is they are really, what's the word I'm looking for, mobile. And so they can move across the landscape quite easily. And so if you get a little isolated patch of trees surrounding a farmhouse, 2 miles away from the nearest big block of woods, they'll still be fox squirrels there because they just explore everywhere and find those little isolated blocks of trees. But there is a second squirrel that's very similar in overall appearance that lives here in Iowa, called the eastern gray squirrel. And so if you're near good-sized blocks of oak and hickory forests, you will probably have a second squirrel. And again, it's the same general shape, but slightly smaller, but definitely more gray. And they have kind of this whitish fringe around the tail that gives them a very distinctive look. So pay attention for both fox squirrels as well as eastern gray squirrels.
Do they occupy the same niche or not?
Mostly, except that the fox squirrels are more generalized. They'll live in any kind of forests, whereas the fox or the gray squirrels really are zooming in just on those oak hickory forests. So if you get down into the bottom lands, which around here tend to not have many oaks and hickories, you normally only find fox squirrels. So the gray squirrels tend to be limited to those steeper hills that have the oak and hickory forests in them.
More in depth after this.
continued my conversation about squirrels with Russ Benedict, professor of biology at Central College. Are the fox squirrels a little smaller too?
Actually, I think fox squirrels are run like 10 to 15% heavier than okay. Eastern gray squirrels. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then of course there's what, three different species of ground squirrels in the state. There's eastern chipmunks, which are super common. They're more kind of forest and forest edge animals. And then there's two others, flying squirrels in the state. There's woodchucks in the state. So there's actually a whole bunch of members of the squirrel family that live in the state. And people tend to confuse them and use the word chipmunk pretty loosely. And they often confuse chipmunks with 13-line ground squirrels. So it's a really pretty interesting group of animals to look at.
Well, when I was a kid, we called those ground squirrels and chipmunks squinnies.
Right, right. You'll hear squinnies and grinnies sometimes. Kind of, I think there's actually a geographic component to what nickname you have for them. But the 13-line ground squirrels are more of a tan color with a series of lines and then a series of dots arranged in lines. Whereas chipmunks tend to be more of a reddish brown with just a series of black and white stripes down their back. So it's kind of easy to see how they'd be confused because they both have lines running down their bodies, but their background color is different and whether they have spots differs. And of course, they're really in different habitats. The 13-line ground squirrels are really open grasslands, whereas the eastern chipmunks are more forest and forest edge animals.
Well, they're pretty daring, the chipmunks. They come pretty close.
I think most of the squirrel family is like that. They're so agile and so quick that I think they realize that they're relatively safe from slow, clumsy predators like us. But no, you're right. It always amazes me how they'll even come right. The chipmunks in my yard will come very close to my dog and just know kind of what their limits are. And my dog has, I caught one in the 10 years we've lived out here.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen a flying squirrel, or at least and knew it.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're nocturnal. They come out at night, and so that makes them very hard to see. And they're also pretty limited in where they live. They're only found in bigger blocks of oak and hickory forests. And so if you're out walking at night in good quality, mature forests, you often hear them. They make this high-pitched kind of a squeaking sound when they're chasing after each other. And so they're relatively common in some parts of the state, but also declining in other parts of the state.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about squirrels with Russ Benedict, professor of biology at Central College. Well, so in general, how are these species doing? I mean, are they, it seems like they're doing fine. What kind of an environmental indicator are they?
Well, they're actually, some of them are good environmental indicators and some of them are not. So for instance, the southern flying squirrel, the species that we have in the state, is declining, probably because of intensive logging, especially intensive logging from the distant past. They need these big blocks of mature forests, and so a lot of those kinds of forests were wiped out early in Iowa's history. And so even though they're rebounding now slowly, the squirrels really haven't come back up from that much. Franklin's ground squirrels are largely tied to tall grass prairies, and their numbers are way down. So some of those ones that have more specialized needs are declining. But one of the ironies then is you get things like the fox squirrel. The fox squirrel is super visible. It lives right in with Joe Public. And so its numbers are doing very well, largely because it's figured out how to live with people. But what that ends up doing is it essentially gives people kind of a false sense of security. I think if you go up to the average person and ask them here in Iowa, so how are wildlife populations doing? What they often will do is they'll click in their head, well, I see lots of raccoons, I see lots of opossums, I see lots of fox squirrels, white-tailed deer. Wildlife are doing okay. But what they're doing is they're getting tricked into this sense of everything's okay by those really visible critters who are doing super well around people. And the public doesn't see the other 80% of wildlife species whose numbers are actually going down pretty consistently across the entire United States and especially here in the Midwest.
Now, squirrels are one of the creatures that we can watch. You know, chipmunks too. We can sit and we can watch them. But, you know, I don't even really know what to watch for. Are there things we should be looking for when we are observing them and their behavior, or their patterns we should try to observe or just watch to appreciate them?
Oh, there's certainly a couple of kind of fun things you can see. And so by watching throughout the year, you can see all of a sudden, like right now, here in the last week or so in my yard, I've now had like 5 or 6 new chipmunks show up, and they're all tiny. So that's telling me that, okay, here's the pulse of babies that have come out from their first reproductive round. So you can see things like that as you watch throughout the year. You can watch their coats get heavier as we prepare for winter. You know, these guys, at least fox squirrels, don't hibernate. And so therefore their coat gets really heavy in preparation for the winter. Chipmunks, on the other hand, use the other strategy, and that is they do hibernate. And so they will mostly disappear throughout especially the worst parts of the winter. They'll peek out every once in a while on those warmer days, but mostly they're gone. So that's kind of fun to see the difference between those strategies. I love chipmunks and how they store seeds in their big pouches in their cheeks. So they have these internal folds inside their cheeks where they can stuff a whole bunch of food. So they'll stuff a whole bunch of food into there and then run back to their burrow and then kind of flip those cheek pouches inside out to store that food in their burrow where they can now sit and safely eat. Fox squirrels are kind of fun when they're courting. They'll do lots of flipping of their tails. They'll flip their tails up and down and chatter at each other, and they'll chase each other, but it's kind of a different chasing. There's chasing that you'll see that is clearly aggressive, but then there's this chasing that seems kind of playful and half-hearted, and usually that's courtship. Another thing that's kind of fun to watch with them is they argue a lot with woodpeckers. So both, especially red-headed woodpeckers, which we have around here some winters. Red-headed woodpeckers store lots of acorns. Squirrels store acorns, and they raid each other's stashes. And so you'll commonly see fights between red-headed woodpeckers and squirrels, which is kind of fun to watch. So they're pretty entertaining, and you can pick up on some things if you just kind of use some better observation powers and really try and pay attention to what they're doing.
Well, now you mentioned courtship, and I'm just presuming that what we're seeing is the males trying to impress the females. Is that right?
Yeah, generally. That's kind of the way the animal world works in general. Usually females are the ones who choose which male to mate with. Males are the ones, it's kind of their job to impress the females. And oftentimes some of the things that the female, quote unquote, forces the male to do are some of these rituals, these long chases, these other things that are designed to test the male's stamina. So basically the female is saying, are you a strong enough male to be the father of my kids? So that tends to be the general rule. Generally, females are the choosers and males are the ones who are kind of out there making fools of themselves. And then the males that don't get chosen by a particular female, they now move to the next female and try and impress her.
I hear somebody chattering behind you. What is that?
Actually, I'm sitting right next to an open window with a bird feeder, and you're hearing red-winged blackbirds and brown-headed cowbirds that are sitting out on my bird feeder right now. But yeah, all those squirrels tend to be pretty vocal, and that's something else to watch for. Most of their vocalizations are in response to some sort of a threat. They'll make all sorts of chattering sounds or the clucking sound of a chipmunk when there's some sort of a threat around. And those are probably designed to warn the other squirrels in the area, which sounds pretty nice, but in honesty, the other squirrels in the area are probably related to the squirrel who's making the alarm calls. So there's kind of I don't know how I want to say that, maybe there's a little bit of a selfishness to the alarm, because you're probably not just, you know, alarming to Joe, just any squirrel. It's probably your own offspring that you're warning.
And so perhaps enhancing the genetic survival of your kin.
Exactly. Yeah. The idea is that in nature, not only do you benefit by passing on your own genes, but if your young survive and pass on their genes, if your brother survives and passes on his genes, you share so many genes with that individual that in a sense you're passing on your genes by helping your relatives to survive and to reproduce as well.
Anything else to share about squirrels today, Russ?
No, they're just a fun group, and especially if you kind of compare one species to the next and look at how some of them are real habitat generalists and others are real specialists, and then look at population trends in both of those, they're good ways of trying to get a broader sense for how nature is doing here in the Midwest as well, you know, or overall. Some species doing very well, but a lot of species not doing terribly well.
Thanks to Russ Benedict for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.